morning, we have another feature in our service because the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada is exactly 100 years old. Our fellowship received a charter from the federal government in 1919, 100 years ago. And we're going to see just a little glimpse of that history this morning. We haven't, but our national office has condensed 100 years into a 5-minute video. So it's going to flash by pretty quickly. But I want you to especially notice that there's a few people that you will recognize. For example, our evening speaker is on the film this morning. So watch for Pat. Also, Brenda Russell. Many of you will remember Ken and Brenda, who pastored this church. Brenda is on, and there'll be a few others that you might recognize as well. So give your attention to the screen as we watch 100 years of Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada history.
At our earliest roots, we gathered, recognizing Christ as our Savior, our Healer, Baptizer, and Coming King. From that foundation, this Pentecostal fellowship began. Our early days were formed as individuals responded to the Spirit's leading. These included the son of a former slave who preached in an old stable, a female healing evangelist and urban missionary, a real estate agent who held meetings in his home, and a young man who strapped his Bible to his plow while working the fields, memorizing and reciting entire chapters of Scripture at a time. Ordinary, everyday people in many ways, but full of faith, seeking for more of what God had for them. They were history makers, legacy builders, groundbreakers, men and women who took the gospel where the Holy Spirit led them to go. Our charter forming the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was signed in 1919, and decade after decade, the Lord's work has gone forward. 6 Bible colleges were established between 1925 and 49. We are presently training over 700 students. 8 Pentecostal camps were formed in the 30s and 40s, and thousands have come to faith and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in those settings. In the middle of the last century, gospel boats took the good news to isolated communities along the BC coast and Prairie Lakes. Planes like Wings of the Gospel helped us reach into northern Ontario, Quebec, and Manitoba. Sunday schools were birthed to systematically disciple all ages and laid a foundation for the growth of youth ministries and many local church congregations. Numerous missionary families were sent out from among us, including Bill and Lillian Cornelius, who served in Kenya for over 20 years. In the early 80s, they returned to Canada, and Bill led our overseas missions department. Today, his son Murray serves as our POC Family International Missions Director. They are just one of many families where the torch for mission and ministry has been passed down from one generation to the next. Through Crusaders, Christ's Ambassadors, bus ministries, and various team outreaches and missions programs over the years, we have invested strongly in discipling the next generation. This is still our heart and focus today. In 1983, ERDO was formed. Today, over 8,200 children are sponsored. Clean water flows in thirsty communities, nutritious meals are provided, and entire communities are impacted. Through the good work of ERDO, we are able to respond when crisis strikes. Globally, we are active in 77 countries. And through our work and partnerships, we have seen over 50,000 churches planted and 35,000 leaders trained and released to pastor over 12 million people. We extend our reach through more than 340 global workers and a growing Mission Canada team, tracking towards 40 workers by 2020 to reach unique gaps in our nation. We are thankful for the faithful commitment of 1,200 affiliated assemblies, church plants, satellites, and missional initiatives who call the POC family. We minister to more than 250,000 Canadians each week in 39 languages. Over 13,000 have come to Christ in this past year. More than 5,600 were baptized in water, and over 3,100 received the infilling of the Spirit. We have been and continue to be a family that believes in the power of Jesus to save, baptize, and heal. We are a people who provide witness to the miraculous ways God is changing lives. And all of this brings us to this moment today. Today, we, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, acknowledge God's faithfulness. We celebrate 100 years. We reflect on God's goodness to us. What began with a small group of people seeking for the Holy Spirit to move has developed into a far-reaching fellowship that is impacting the globe. But we are not satisfied with where we are. We do need the Holy Spirit to convict hearts, change lives, and empower people today like never before. We have set a vision that cannot be reached by our efforts alone. We are hungry for God to move in new ways, in new places, among different people groups. We are asking Him to move among our children and youth, the generation that needs to experience the supernatural power of God at work. We picture a future where Jesus Christ is lifted high in every community, so all can know and experience His power and presence. Today, we commemorate, we reflect on all God has done, yet there is no greater way to acknowledge His faithfulness on this 100th anniversary than to seek for a fresh visit of His Spirit in our churches, our homes, in our communities, across our nation, and for our world. Let's unite today in prayer as challenged by our General Superintendent, David Wells, and ask God to pour out His Spirit on us once again, as He did at Pentecost. Spirit, come. Fill us. Change us. Influence us in such a way that we would live out our faith every day in a way that is vibrant and alive. Help us to stand firm on Your Word, passing it from one generation to another. Challenge us to speak life into our desperate situations. Empower us to go to those around us and to the far-reaching corners of the world, making disciples, baptizing those who follow You, and teaching this world Your ways. Visit us with that power of Pentecost once again, that we may boldly serve You and proclaim Your name until You return.
And I hope that's our prayer. Holy Spirit, visit us once again. Holy Spirit, move once again. We desperately need the Spirit of God to do a fresh work in our lives and to show Himself to us. And this is Pentecost Sunday. Praise God. We believe that the Spirit is still moving today, and we believe in His power and His presence. I want to thank you, first of all, before we get into this, for being faithful to the church. And we're going to talk about volunteers in a little bit. But especially, I want to thank you for being faithful in giving beyond. And we are, for those that don't know, we are raising money to help do some work in this building. And the reason is so that we can continue to present the message of Christ in an effective manner. So we are right now to date, we're at $10,109. So thank you so much. We still have a few weeks left. Please, if I can encourage you, let's continue to invest in God's kingdom here at the church. So thank you so much. By the way, in the video, did you see Pat? Yes, yes, yes. That's all that matters. No, it's not. It was very fast, and the pictures moved very, very quickly. But I love the fact that the PAOC is 100 years old, and we celebrate that. But see, here's the thing. The church is over 2,000 years old. And God has done some incredible things at the birth of the church, and God continues to do incredible things in the lives of people when we are seeking after Him. And I want to talk about the new birth, this new birth of the church and what happened, what was established, and how we can celebrate that here this morning. I want us to jump in our Bibles to a very well-known portion of Scripture, and because it is the birth of the church, we want to look at that this morning from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses there. So if you want to grab your Bibles, Acts 2, why don't we stand for the reading of God's Word here this morning. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says this, "When the day of Pentecost came," that would be today, "they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly they amazed, all these men who are speaking from Galilee or Galileans, how is it that we can hear them in our own languages?" And then it explains all the different languages. Verse 12 says, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean. Father, thank you that what happened so many years ago, what you did at the birth of the church, Lord, is available to your church today. That I thank you, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, are still moving, that you are still doing incredible things. Father, that you still have the best things still yet to come for your church. And we're looking forward to what you are doing, what you will do, what you continue to do as we keep our focus on you. Spirit of God, we invite you now into this place. We ask you to fill us once again. We ask you to move once again, to encourage us once again, and to empower us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you be seated at this time? When we look at in the early church, when we look at what was involved with the church, the birth of the church, there is a period of waiting, the period of waiting for this birth. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came. Now, Pentecost is an interesting time, see, because the word itself means 50. It means 50. So basically what happened was 50 days before this actual day, the day of Pentecost, there was a celebration that happened in the Jewish field there. And what it was that the people were told on a certain day to bring in their wheat into the church or into the temple. And at that point in time, what they did is they brought it, the very first of their wheat they brought to the temple. Now that was a scary thing because this is their very first. The very first bit of wheat they brought to the priest and they committed it unto God. And that was a huge step of faith, right? Because now all of a sudden, what we've got, we got to give it away. But what happens if there's no more? But God says, hey, listen, I want you to bring me your first. And so 50 days before the day of Pentecost, they did exactly that. You know, bringing our first to God is not an easy thing, is it? It's interesting. I had a call this week from an individual, and he said to me, you know, I'm in a real financial situation. I can't tithe or I can't give to God. And I said, that's really too bad because you're robbing yourself of a blessing by not giving to him. Well, I got to pay my bills. Yeah, you do. But are you trusting God enough to put him first? Are you trusting God enough to bring your very best to God as they did back then? Bring your best to him and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen after this, but I am committing you what I have. And they brought their first of their grain. And then 50 days later, the harvest came, the harvest went, the grain came and grew. They harvested it, they brought it in. And 50 days later, they celebrated because it was a great harvest. Because God was faithful and he provided. And on that day, the day of Pentecost, what they did is they brought and they celebrated. They came into the church, the temple, and they celebrated and said, thank you, God, for what you've done for us throughout this harvest. You've provided for us. You've given to us. And they celebrated. And see, that's the day of Pentecost. That's the day that we are celebrating today. A day of celebration when, at that point in time, they're celebrating that the harvest was finished, brought in, and we celebrate it's just started. We're celebrating that the harvest has just started and that we are able to experience the presence of God. And what a beautiful day for the church to be birthed. What a beautiful day. Because it was a day of celebration, and in the same way, it is a day of celebration for us. But it took some time. See, here's the thing. If you look into Acts chapter 2, this didn't just happen. They didn't just come into church one Sunday morning, sit down and say, okay, God, we need you, hallelujah, and they got filled and they went out. Scripture tells us that they came in and they spent 10 days in prayer, 10 days laboring. Ladies, can you imagine if you'd be in labor for 10 days? It wouldn't be fun. I'm glad I'm not a woman, just saying. But they spent 10 days laboring before God and say, God, fill us with your Spirit. God, fill us with your power. God, you promised us through Jesus that you would come upon us. And for 10 days, they sat in that room. How many know that if you're in an upper room in Israel where it's hot, it kind of will get uncomfortable? And you start to smell things. You know what I'm talking about. But they persevered. They went through, and after 10 days, there was a birth. It's a baby. Woohoo! and the church was born. I was at a wedding last week, whenever it was. Time just, whew, it's all over the place for me. But at the wedding, someone said, one of the speakers got up and said, you know, there's nothing like when you get your first child and you look into the eyes of that child. If you don't like children before that, something changes. Because you look into the eyes of that child and you say, that's mine. That's mine. And there's a love that just kind of oozes out of you. And you know what? I believe that God, when that church was born that first day, it was like a child. He looked into its eyes and said, man, that's mine. And there was something special that happened, something incredibly special. It started from a birth, but there was a bond that happened that on that day. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Okay, I've talked about this a little bit here. So what's the big deal? They were all together in one place. So what, I mean, last week or a couple weeks ago, there was a huge soccer game that happened between Liverpool and Tottenham in Madrid. Now, I believe there was somebody that was there that's in our congregation here this morning. But there's this big soccer game, and I know you need to know this, that Liverpool won 2-0, okay? Are you excited about that? Yeah, right. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. After the game, and this is a picture of this, after the game, the Liverpool came home, wherever that is, and they came back home, and there were 750,000 people on the street. It's a big crowd. And they were together for one purpose, and that was to celebrate the coming home of their team. They got nothing on the church. Listen, they got nothing on the church. Because, see, that day they were together not to celebrate a win of a honking foot soccer game. It's like, great. Hallelujah, but they were together for the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. They were together to celebrate the fact that God was going to do something new. And that day God started. You know what happened was they were united together. The word together means that they were united. They were one in mind, one in purpose, with in union to be of one soul. That's what this word together means. They were there and saying, God, we want to know each other, we want to know you. And there were people from many different backgrounds. There were people there that were from different statuses. There were fishermen, there were housewives, there were tax collectors, there were farmers. There's all sorts of people together, united, and say, man, God, we want you. See, here's the thing, folks. We need to be together. We need to be together if we want God to move once again upon his church. If we want that fresh fire, fresh anointing from him. We need to stand united, because united we will stand, divided we will fall. In the Roman times, there was a formation that was known as the Testuda formation. You've seen it before, right? Maybe you weren't back then, but the Testuda formation was when a bunch of Roman soldiers got together and they grabbed their shield and they put it down in the ground and they held the shield above their head so that when those arrows went flying down upon them, there was not a lot of space for those arrows to penetrate. And they were protected. I wouldn't mind being in the middle of, I don't really want to be in a war, but if I got to be anywhere, I wouldn't mind being in the middle of one of those things, because you're pretty safe. Being alone would be a problem. With a bazillion soldiers shooting at you, unless, of course, you're Gerald Butler. Gerald Butler from the movie 300. You don't need no stinking armor. All you need is chiseled abs and a great voice, and you can take on anything. It's not like that in the real world. Folks, listen, it's not like that in the real world. We need to be together, to stand together. We must guard against gossip. We must guard against division and anything that causes a wedge between us. Listen, you need to guard against it. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He says this, therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and you remember your brother or your sister has something against you, listen, he says, and leave your gift there. Go make it right. First of all, make it right with your brother. If there's something that causes division, make it right. We got to be standing together, or there is going to be a problem. See, there are people that come to God and they're singing worship songs and all that, and they've got a real issue with somebody down on the other side of the church. You know what that looks like to God? You know what it smells like to God? You ever been in the church during a day when they are spreading manure down there on 176th? Yeah, that's what it smells like to God. It's not pretty. We are called, folks, listen, we are called to stand together. And that's what started the church, the new birth. It was a unity. And when it started with waiting in the presence, but then there was a welcoming. There was the welcoming of the church is incredibly awesome. There were sounds, there were signs, and there was speech. There was sounds in the first church. See, here's the thing. When you've got a new baby, you're going to have sounds, right? If there's not sounds, there's an issue. I'm thinking there's a problem there if you don't have sounds with a new baby. And in this case, there's an incredible sound. It says here in verse 3, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And you sit there and you go, okay, what's the deal with the wind? I mean, any sound, why wasn't it God saying, I am now filling you, or something like that? Why wind? Glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. See, if you go into the Bible, you find that the word for spirit, okay, or we say Holy Spirit, but the word for spirit in the Old Testament, and I'm not a Hebrew person, nor am I a Greek guy. I can't speak either language, but I do know these two words. The Old Testament word for spirit is ruha, and the New Testament is pneuma, and both of those words mean spirit or wind. Spirit or wind. So in the Old Testament, what happened was this. When God showed up, if you remember in the Old Testament, when God showed up, and there was Ezekiel was standing at the at this valley, and there's bones everywhere. They're dead. They ain't moving. And God says, Ezekiel, I want you to do something. I want you to preach to those bones. I felt at times I'm preaching to bones. People are like, you know, but this is very different. Doesn't happen here. But he's standing there and he's looking. He says, are you serious, God? He says, yeah, preach to those bones. All right. And he starts preaching. And something crazy happens. God does a work. And these bones start to come together. And flesh starts to fill it. And then it says, and then the Spirit of God showed up with the wind. And the breath of God fell upon those bones and they rose up. Man, we got to rise up. We need the breath of God in our lives, don't we? We need a fresh moving of God's life and spirit upon us. There was no doubt there was the power of God was there in the Old Testament and it was here in the New Testament as well. And you know, I'm wondering that when they heard that sound of wind, I'm wondering if it wasn't not just the sound, but I like to think they actually felt something. That maybe they actually felt the breeze of the Spirit of God. I'm wondering as the Spirit moved, if he didn't stir up things, like when you took grain and you have grain in your hand and you let the wind blow in and all the chaff get blown away and you're left with a handful of grain. I'm wondering if there wasn't the same thing there, that the wind of God blew on it and they felt the presence and the power of God. See, we need God to refresh us here, folks. We need God to blow away the junk and to bring new life into our souls today. There was sound, but there was also signs that came on that first day. And this is what it says. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, what's the deal with tongues of fire? Why in the world would God bring a sign like that and have human candles? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Does that make sense? For us, maybe not so much, but boy, it sure did for them. Because here's what happened in the Old Testament again. If you remember, Moses is walking through the desert. You remember the story? And he comes upon this bush, and it's burning. Now, if there's a burning bush, I'm probably kind of, we're intrigued, right? Fire intrigues. So he's walking up to it and going, okay, this bush is burning, but the leaves look pretty fine. It's not burning up. And he realized the presence of God was there. And then the presence of God showed himself, or God showed himself through a pillar of fire that led the nation of Israel through some very difficult times. In the New Testament, John the Baptist said to the people, he says, listen, I'm going to baptize you in water. But there's somebody coming. He's got great power, and he's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to baptize you with fire. Man, we need fire in our lives, don't we? We need the fire of God, not this simple of walking through life and kind of dragging our soul behind us and keeping our heads down. We need the fire of God. We need to stand strong. And you know what when that comes? That fire comes when we allow the Spirit of God to ignite us. See, God wants us to be hot for him. He wants us to be light in a dark world. He wants us not to be lukewarm. Look what it says in Revelation. You remember this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I know your deeds. He's talking to the church in Laodicea, that you are neither what? Cold nor hot. I wish you were either, but you're neither of those. You're not worth pleh. That's what he says. You're not worth spit. God's calling us to be hot for him, folks. He's calling us to burn for him. And the fire of God, that sign is available for you and I if we allow the Spirit into our lives. There is the sounds, there is a signs, and then there is a speech that came. It says in verse 4 of Acts chapter 2, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and other languages as the Spirit enabled them. If you go back to the baby, and we have a couple of them here this morning, the greatest thing is a baby when they start to talk, right? And they do this gibberish stuff. Whatever it is, I don't know, I can't do it. But you know, there's always a word that everybody waits for. It's that word that one day that baby, no, hang on. Come on. That first precious word. Dada, come on. It's all about dada. And we're like, yes! Ah, that's my boy, my girl, whatever. To the early church, it sounded like gibberish. To people out there on the streets, it sounded like gibberish. But God began to fill them with a new language. God filled them with the power of his Holy Spirit. Listen, let me explain something to you. When we commit our life to Jesus, God's Holy Spirit takes residence in our life. And somebody asked me about this, actually this week as well. They asked me, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, we receive the Spirit in our lives. He comes in, and I know, please work with me here. It's sort of a crude illustration, but it's almost like our life is like a car. And I've said this before, but when we invite the Holy Spirit into our life, he comes into our car, and he sits beside us. But when we allow and ask God to fill us, we surrender the steering wheel to him. And we say, God, it's yours. You take me where you want me to go. And I pray that we have that type of faith, that type of commitment to Christ, and saying to the Spirit of God, I surrender control to you. And you know, the biggest place, the hardest place to surrender control is the most difficult muscle in your body. Yeah, that be definitely ahead. Little of damage. You know how much damage you do with this thing? You think the pipes are dangerous. This thing here, it's got deadly poison, the Bible tells us. Actually tells us in James chapter 3 that the tongue is a fire. Not the kind of fire we were talking about before. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. In a negative way, and it is itself set on fire by hell. It's not a pretty place, not a pretty thing. And I know every one of you have said things, shame on you and me, that we regret saying, right? Don't put up your hand, but you know it's true. We've all said things, we wish you could bring them back, and it's too late. God says, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do something for you. If you trust me enough, I'm gonna give you control, I'm gonna take control of that muscle. And I'm going to begin to fill it. And I'm going to fill it with other words. Not words of rebuke, not harsh words that are offensive to others, but words of praise. words of adoration unto him, words that begin to express a new life and a new energy that comes from God through this muscle and brings it back to him. And at that point in time, when that early church, when that church was established, God began to use that muscle to begin to worship him, but to begin to express a message of hope to others. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But God can use us and use this tongue in an incredible way. I remember years ago when I was when I grew up in the German church in Chilliwack, I remember one Sunday, we had a young lady in our church who was messing around with some pretty bad stuff. Nobody knew it at the time. How many know that God knows everything? And at that point in time, she was messing around and somebody began to speak in tongues and began to speak in other language, just worshiping God. She began to worship God, and somebody else in that church was listening and was going, wait a minute. I know what she's saying. I know that language. She was speaking in Swahili. And as she was speaking and praying out in Swahili, she was rebuking the enemy and rebuking his power and beginning to worship God and begin to praise God and beginning to even pray on behalf of this other girl. And after the service, this young lady went to the person praying out in tongues and says, man, I didn't know you know Swahili. She goes, what? What is Swahili? Says, well, you're praying. I don't know any Swahili. See, God can use this muscle to glorify him and to be a blessing to others. So there was a time of where God was doing incredible things, but then it ended up with God using his people to witness, to bring the message of hope to a broken world around us. And it's all about hope, isn't it? It's all about hope. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 5. There was staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews. I read it earlier. And they began to hear the message. And they said, verse 12 said, what does it all mean? What is the meaning of all this? See, this is what happened. Something was going on in that upper room. Something was going on up there. But guess what? It didn't stay there. It did not stay there. The people began to pour out of that room and they began to pour out onto the streets and they began to speak the language of the people that were there right now. How many know that people out there need to know the language, that they need to hear the language they speak. They need us to speak it in a way they can understand so that they can in turn know the living God and commit their life to Jesus. And they began to go out and began to speak the language of the people. And they're going, what is all of this about? This doesn't make sense. We know these guys. They're Galileans. They were born in this area. They're speaking, they should only speak Koine Greek, maybe a little bit of Aramaic. But why are they speaking all of these other languages? And at that point in time, a door opened up. And Pastor Peter got up. And he says, folks, let me tell you what's going on. And he began to speak the message of hope. And the scriptures tells us that on that day, 3,000 people came to know Jesus. Man, I'd love to see that, eh? Wouldn't you love to see that? See, I want to just say here this morning that Peter had a job to do, but he depended on all the others that were in that upper room. Ultimately, it was the Holy Spirit, but he depended on everybody else as well. Can I say that we have a job to do here at Spot Church, but I can't do it alone. Our board can't do it alone. It's dependent on every single individual, their job that they have to do. And we call their part, your part, we call it volunteering. And I want to thank you for those that have taken time to speak the language of the people, to speak the language of the children, to take time and spend time with them, to speak the language of the teens. Yo, man, it's going on, it's going down. No, that's 80s, I know. I'm sorry. Wow, where did that come from? I want to thank you for ministering. And we have a number of bags up here, and these are just volunteers from this year, 2019. 2019, we have, I believe it's 135 volunteers in this church. Yeah, absolutely. What I want to do in closing here is I want to show a video, and then there's a few things I want to do after that. But let me just show you a video of what some of our volunteers are involved in. Let's do that at this time. Amen. I want to thank our volunteers, but I want us to do something here in closing. I'm going to ask a number of volunteers actually to come up as a representative of those different ministries. So I'm just going to call the names. I've contacted most of these folks so they know who it is, but if you can just make your way up. So for music, I'm going to ask Sonia to come up. Sound, Ryan, Dare to Care, Darlene, Kids, Isaac, just come on, make your way up. Youth, Carolyn, Young Adults, is Dakota here? Dakota's not here? Okay, is Patricia here? Oh my goodness, they're all upstairs. Okay, Daniel, we're going to get you up here for young adults. Come on up here, please. Come on. Where are we at here? Young adults. Women's, Michelle, Mary's, John Eckerd, Board, Herb, Lift, Nympha, New Beginners, Allie, Coffee Bar, Lori, Alpha, Wilma, Hospitality, Diana, Welcome Desk, Brenda, Drama, Brian, Greeters, Edna, Bread Ministry, Peter Ramirez, Cedar Gardens, Ilsa, Building Maintenance, Dave Hovis, Prayer Ministry, Pat, Seniors, Olga, Missions, Lenora, Tech, Rod, and Communion, Chris. I've called them up because I want you to get a picture of some of our people that are behind the scenes many times. Sometimes they're up front, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're behind the scenes. But we honor you. We honor you for your work, for your help, and for all you do. Now, one of the ways in Scripture that a service was shown was by the washing of feet. Now, I can't wash all your feet. I don't have time, though I'd love to. But I'm going to ask Isaac to come up here, and he's going to be a representative of all of you this morning. And the reason washing feet was such an important thing is because it was an act of service done by those that got the last attention. So it was the lowest of the servants that would actually wash your feet. But we do it as an act of honoring all that you folks are done. So Isaac, on behalf of all our volunteers, 145, and I could put you in here, but I thought that wouldn't be a good idea. Right? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take here out of there, and I'm going to ask you to put your feet in here. And I want to honor you, first of all, Isaac. I want to honor you because you have served in many ways. You serve on the board. You've served by opening up your home for Lift Community. You've served when I said, help, Isaac, I can't lead my small group, and you've led it for me. You have served as an usher. You have served as in children's ministry. You have served in many, many ways, and I want to honor you. And I know it's not always the easiest thing in the world to do. And I know there are times where you sit there and you go, you know, I could be doing something a lot better than this. Man, I could be down below and in the sanctuary and just enjoying whatever, but you've chosen to serve. And I honor you for that. And on behalf of all of our volunteers, as you sit here, I want to thank you for your commitment to the Lord, for your commitment to the church, and for your commitment to your family, because others see it. And I want to honor all of you. Yeah. And what we've done here this morning is we have a little gift for every volunteer that has volunteered in 2019. And like I said, we've got 135, 45, I don't know, even though how many there are. And at the end of the service, every one of you that has volunteered this last year, we want you to come up to the front. There is a bag with your name on it, and we want to present that to you on behalf of us as leaders, and on behalf of every leader from those different departments. But what I want us to do right now is I want us all to stand. And I think it would be great if we just pray a blessing on our leaders, on everyone that has maybe at times tirefully, not tirelessly, has served. Maybe at times you just didn't want to serve, but you carried on and you kept doing it. And we want to bless you. And we want to pray God's anointing that you carry on and you continue to do the work that God has called you to do. So Pastor Les, why don't you join me up here? Pastor Nicole isn't well today. We want to pray for her. But Pastor Les, can I ask you to pray a blessing on our volunteers? And if you volunteered, please, at the end of the service, come on up, and there is something here for you. But thank you for your commitment to the Lord. Pastor Les.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have revealed to us in your word that you measure greatness in a different way than many people do. When you said that the greatest among you shall be the servant of all. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you have blessed this assembly with people who have a servant heart and an attitude to help and to pitch in wherever necessary. And so this morning, Lord, it is our honor and privilege to honor those to whom honor is due. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here at the front. And we know that there's many, Lord, still in their seats that have given of their time and their energy, and they have served you in the capacity of your calling to them. They have used their gifts to honor you, and we thank you for that.
Yes,
and we just want to pray blessing in the name of Jesus upon everyone who gives. Mm-hmm. Lord, sometimes people know nothing about it, mm-hmm. but you do, mm-hmm. and great will be their reward in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
So we thank you, Lord, and we just pray blessing on them and their families and their ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.